Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we have a stack of research that I have to say I've been both excited and a little terrified to get into.
I can imagine.
We are looking at a file that sits right at this messy intersection of, you know, advanced biotech, hardcore muscle physiology, and let's be honest, a huge amount of internet misinformation.
Yeah.
We're talking about the science of FST-344. But before we get into the genetic limiters of the human body, I do want to mention that the research for today's deep dive was brought to you by InfinityPeptide.com.
It's great to be back. And you are not kidding about the misinformation.
Yeah.
This is one of those topics where the actual science, the peer-reviewed stuff you see in journals like Molecular Therapy, is almost completely different from what's being talked about on fitness forums.
That's the vibe I got right away. I started reading these papers and I realized, you know, when most people hear follistatin or FST-344, they just think bodybuilding.
Right. Get big. Quick.
Exactly. But the documents we have today, this isn't really about getting swole for the beach. This is about how the human body fundamentally regulates itself. It's about the biological breaks that, you know, stop us from turning into giants.
It really is. We're going to be talking about the TGF-beta superfamily, which I know sounds like a comic book team.
It does.
But it's actually this massive group of proteins that tells your cells what to do. And we're looking specifically at how scientists are trying to hijack those signals to treat things like muscular dystrophy.
So the mission today is to figure out what this protein actually is, how it works under the hood, and then, and this is the part that really confused me at first, the difference between the science in the lab and the stuff people are buying online.
Mm-hmm.
Because looking at our sources, those seem to be two very, very different worlds.
Oh, they were worlds apart. And I think by the end of this, you're going to understand why that vial of liquid you see for sale might not be doing what you think it's doing.
Okay, so let's start at square one. I was looking at the chemical structure in the notes, and it doesn't look like a steroid. It doesn't look like testosterone. It looks bigger.
More complex.
You're spot on. It's not a steroid at all. It's a protein.
Okay.
Specifically, FST-344 is an isoform of follistatin. Now, isoform is just a, you know, a fancy way of saying a version.
Right.
You have the FST gene in your DNA. When that gene gets expressed, the body can splice it, basically cut and paste the genetic instructions in different ways to make different versions of the protein.
Okay, so it's like a recipe that you can tweak a little bit to get a slightly different cake.
That's a perfect analogy. And this specific tweak results in a 344 amino acid precursor. That's where the 344 comes from.
Ah, okay.
But here's the nuance that a lot of people miss. After the body processes it, it yields a circulating form called FS315, and this is a glycoprotein.
FS315, okay. I did see another number in the research, too, something like FS317 or FS288. Mm-hmm. Why so many versions? Does it actually matter which one you're talking about? It matters immensely. It's actually the difference between the whole thing working systemically or just not.
Wow. Okay.
Think of it this way. The other major version, FS288, is extremely sticky. It binds really tight to something called heparin sulfate on the surface of cells.
And heparin sulfate is like the cell's Velcro.
That is a perfect way to put it. So if your body produces FS-288, it just sticks to the cell that made it. It stays local.
Like a post-it note on your own desk.
Exactly. Only the people at your desk see it.
Mm.
But FST-344, that processes into the FS-315 form, which is not sticky. It escapes that Velcro. It gets into the bloodstream and it travels systemically.
So FST-344 is like sending a company-wide email. It goes everywhere.
Precisely. And if you're trying to treat a disease that affects every muscle in the body, like Duchenne muscular dystrophy, you don't want to post a note. You need the email.
That makes perfect sense. So we have this traveling protein. What does it actually do when it gets where it's going? The sources keep bringing up myostatin. I feel like I see that word everywhere, usually with a picture of a really muscular cow.
The Belgian blue cattle. Yep, classic example. Myostatin is fascinating. It's also known as GDF8, and it's what we call a negative regulator. Its whole job, evolutionarily speaking, is to tell your muscles to stop growing.
Which seems so counterintuitive. Why would evolution want us to be smaller and weaker? Wouldn't being a giant muscle monster be, you know, better for survival?
You'd think so, but muscle is expensive, biologically expensive. It takes a huge amount of calories just to maintain muscle.
Right.
If our ancestors were roaming the savannah during a famine, having, say, 250 pounds of lean muscle would be a death sentence. You'd starve way faster than the lean guy. So myostatin is the brake pedal.
It's the body's way of saying, hey, we can't afford to feed these biceps, so just cut it out.
Exactly. But of course, for someone with a muscle wasting disease, That safety mechanism is a disaster. They need that growth.
So FST-344 works by, what, cutting the brake line?
That's the idea. Or, to be more accurate, it puts a brick under the brake pedal so it can't be pressed down. It works by antagonizing myostatin.
And how does it do that? Does it destroy it?
No, it sequesters it. It basically wraps it up. It binds to myostatin and also to other related proteins called activins.
Yeah.
And just prevents them from fitting into their receptor sites on the muscle cells.
It blocks the keyhole.
Exactly. Specifically, the activin type 2 receptor, or ActRIB.
Okay, I want to dig into the cell for a second. Let's say FST-344 has done its job. The receptor is blocked. Myostatin is just floating around, useless. What happens inside that muscle cell? The stop signal is gone, but does that automatically mean go?
It does more than that. It triggers a whole shift in the signaling pathways.
Okay.
Normally, when myostatin hits that receptor, it lights up something called the SMAD23 pathway. Think of SMAD23 as a big red stoplight for making new protein.
SMAD is red. Stop growing. Got it.
Right. So FST-344 turns off that red light.
Yeah.
But it also helps shift the balance for the activin to your pathway. And anyone who follows longevity or fitness science knows MTR.
That's the big one, the anabolic switch, the green light.
That's the one. So you are simultaneously lifting the suppression and enabling the growth pathway. It's a double whammy. And because follistatin interacts with other members of that whole TGF-beta family, like BMPs, it's not just affecting size. It's influencing repair, inflammation, even fibrosis.
It sounds almost too good to be true. You take the brakes off, hit the gas, and the muscle just grows. But this is where I hit a wall in the research. I'm looking at these studies, the ones that show these huge results, and I noticed something weird about how they did it.
I think I know what you spotted.
They aren't just giving the subjects a shot of follistatin, are they?
No, and this is the aha moment that usually gets buried.
Yeah.
If you look at the Coda et al. Study from 2009, which is one of the most cited papers on this, they didn't inject the protein. They used gene therapy.
Gene therapy. So they aren't just topping off the gas tank. They're like replacing the entire engine.
That's a perfect way to describe it. Yep. They used an adeno-associated virus, or AAV1, basically as a delivery truck.
Yeah.
They packed the genetic code for FST-344 into this harmless virus. You injected the virus, and the virus inserted that code into the DNA of the muscle cells.
So the muscle cells themselves become little factories just pumping out FST-344.
Yes. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The muscle is constantly producing its own myostatin blocker.
Let's talk about the results of that CODA study then, because they used mice and monkeys, right?
They started with MDX mice, which are the standard lab model for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And after the gene therapy, they saw, you know, significant increases in muscle mass and strength. The muscles just looked healthier.
But mice are mice. We cure cancer in mice every Tuesday. What about the monkeys?
Right, the macaques. This was the big test. They injected the AAV1 FS344 vector into the quadriceps of these monkeys, and they saw potent hypertrophy. The muscles grew significantly bigger and stronger than the control leg.
Wow.
And critically, because they used the right isoform, the FS344 one, they didn't see major off-target effects on organs or hormones. That was a huge fear.
That's incredible. So it works in primates. Did they ever try this in humans, or is that still just science fiction?
They did. We have the Mendel study from 2015, published in Molecular Therapy. It was a phase 12A trial for patients with Becker muscular dystrophy.
Did they turn into the Hulk?
Well, let's manage expectations here. These are patients with a severe disease, but the results were genuinely promising.
Okay.
They used the same AAV1 gene therapy approach, and they saw that in some patients, the distance they could walk in 6 minutes improved. And that's a key clinical test, the 6-minute walk test.
Yeah.
It measures real-world function, not just how big your bicep is.
And what about the muscle tissue itself?
The histology, looking at it under a microscope, showed reduced fibrosis, so less scarring, and actual hypertrophy in the muscle fibers. So yes, the mechanism works in humans.
Okay, so this is where I have to play the skeptic. We just spent all this time talking about how this works through gene therapy, using a virus to rewrite DNA to create a permanent factory in the muscle.
Right.
But if I go to Google right now, I can find 50 websites selling FST-344 peptide in a little glass vial for $50.
You absolutely can.
So if I buy that vial and inject it, am I getting the same results as the monkeys in that study?
The short answer is no. The long answer is absolutely not, and here's the physics of why.
Please, break this down, because people are spending real money on this stuff.
Okay, the difference is something called pharmacokinetics, basically how a drug moves through your body and how long it lasts.
Right.
In the gene therapy studies, the body is producing FST-344 continuously. The levels are high, and they are sustained. they never drop. The blockade on myostatin is permanent.
So the brake pedal is permanently blocked.
Right. But if you just inject the unmodified peptide from that vial, it has a very, very short half-life. Your body just breaks it down incredibly fast. It might last minutes, maybe an hour or two if you're lucky.
So it's like taking the brick out from under the brake pedal after 5 minutes.
Exactly. You get this tiny little pulse of myostatin inhibition, and then poof, it's gone. To mimic the effects of gene therapy, you would need like an IV drip hooked up to you 24/7. A single daily injection is just a drop in the bucket.
So the gray market is selling a product that technically is the molecule, but the delivery method makes it almost useless for the kind of growth we see in the actual science.
That is the consensus among researchers, yes. The profound effects, the doubling of muscle mass in mice, the functional gains in humans, all of it was driven by sustained expression. There's pretty much no clinical evidence that just injecting the peptide does anything significant for muscle growth in people.
Wow.
It's sold as a research reagent, not a drug, for a reason.
That is a massive gotcha. It's like buying a Ferrari engine, but trying to run it on AA batteries. The fuel source, the delivery matters just as much as the machine itself.
That's a perfect way to put it. And it shows the danger of just reading a headline like "Follistatin causes muscle growth" without reading the method section of the paper.
Let's pivot slightly, because even if the peptide vials are, you know, a bust, the biology is still so fascinating. The sources mentioned that this isn't just about getting bigger. There was a section on satellite cells. Can you explain what those are?
Sure. Satellite cells are the unsung heroes of muscle tissue. They're basically the stem cells that sit dormant on the outside of your muscle fibers.
Okay.
When you work out hard and get those little micro tears, or if you have an actual injury, these cells wake up. They divide and they fuse into the muscle fiber to repair it and make it stronger.
So they're the repair crew?
They are. And remember how myostatin is the stop signal? Mm. Well, myostatin also tends to keep these satellite cells asleep. It inhibits their activation.
Mm.
So when you block myostatin with follistatin, you're essentially waking up the repair crew and telling them to get to work.
So theoretically, this could be huge for injury recovery, not just for dystrophy.
That's absolutely the hope. It promotes regeneration. And there's another angle that really blew my mind in the research, the metabolic connection.
Metabolic? How so?
Well, we tend to think of muscle just as the thing that moves our bones, but muscle is an endocrine organ. Mm. It releases signals that talk to the rest of the body.
And FST3404 affects that.
It seems to. Some of the early research suggests that modulating this TGF-beta pathway can actually improve insulin sensitivity. There's even some data hinting that it might help the beta cells in the pancreas, the ones that make insulin, either work better or grow.
Wait, hold on. So there's a potential diabetes treatment hiding inside a muscle drug?
Potentially. I mean, it makes sense. If you have more healthy muscle mass, you have a larger sink for glucose to go into. You manage your blood sugar better. So the implications go way beyond just being strong. It's about overall metabolic health.
And you mentioned fibrosis, too, the scarring.
Yes. Fibrosis is the enemy in aging and disease. It's when functional tissue turns into stiff, useless scar tissue. And activin, one of the other things follistatin blocks, is a major driver of fibrosis. So by blocking it, FST-344 can act as an antifibrotic. It keeps the tissue clean.
This all sounds incredible, but we know there's no free lunch in biology. There's always a trade-off. If we're turning off the body's natural brakes, what happens? Do we, you know, crash the car? What are the safety concerns here?
The biggest theoretical risk, and it's where follistatin got its name, is the reproductive system. Follistatin literally stands for follicle-stimulating hormone inhibitor.
Ah, so it suppresses FSH. That sounds pretty important for making babies.
Very. FSH is crucial for fertility in both men and women. If you suppress it too much, you could cause hypogonadism. You could shut down the entire reproductive axis.
That sounds like a complete deal breaker.
It would be. But, and here's another one of those layers of nuance, the FS-344 that becomes the FS-315 isoform seems to have a much lower affinity for the pituitary gland than the other versions.
So the traveler version kind of avoids the reproductive organs.
It seems to favor the muscle tissue enough that the side effects were manageable in the trials. They monitored it really closely in the animal studies and didn't see that catastrophic crash in hormones they were worried about. But again, these are controlled clinical trials. We don't have long-term safety data in humans for years and years of use.
And legally? I assume, since we're talking about gene therapy and experimental peptides, I can't just ask my doctor for a prescription.
Absolutely not. There are no FDA-approved follistatin products for human use.
Yeah.
Zero. Everything is experimental.
And for any athletes listening?
Hard no. WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, is very aware of myostatin inhibitors. Follistatin is on the banned list.
Right.
Doesn't matter if it's a peptide or gene therapy. If they find it, you're banned. And testing for gene doping is a whole other conversation, a new frontier for them.
So to summarize where we are, we have this biological mechanism blocking myostatin with FST-344 that clearly works to increase muscle and improve function. We have proof of concept in gene therapy trials for terrible diseases. But the consumer product, the peptide in the vial, is likely a waste of money because of how fast the body just chews it up.
That is the accurate summary. The science is sound, but the product you can buy on the market doesn't match the science that's being done in the lab.
It's a classic case of the hype just completely outrunning the actual technology.
It is. But it also points to a really, really exciting future.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I want to leave the listener with this thought. We all grow up thinking our bodies have these hard limits. You can only get so strong. You heal at a certain speed. You age at a certain rate.
Mm-hmm.
But this research on FST-344 suggests those aren't brick walls. They're just like software setting.
Adjustable setting.
Exactly. And if we can safely learn to turn a dial and tell a 70-year-old's muscles to regenerate like a 20-year-old's, or tell a diabetic pancreas to heal itself, we aren't just treating disease anymore. We are fundamentally changing the human experience of aging.
It redefines what's inevitable.
It certainly does. Thank you for diving into this complex, slightly terrifying, but also incredibly hopeful file with me today. And one last reminder that the research for this deep dive was brought to you by InfinityPeptide.com.
Always a pleasure.
We'll see you on the next deep dive. Stay curious.